Say something.
Thank you.
Good morning. It's so nice to see so many of you here this morning on this glorious, sunny, beautiful Lord's Day, where we come to worship and praise together. On the way here, I read a text from one of my friends that I'd like to share with you, seeing those of you with masks, and I wear a mask when I'm closer to you. A mask is better than a ventilator. Home is better than ICU. Prevention is better than a cure. It's not curfew, it's care for you. So I wish care for each and every one of you. And those who are listening who are not with us, if you're home on your sofa or by the kitchen table drinking your tea, listening, we hope that you are doing well too, and we welcome you as well. We have a special treat this morning in the lobby. Angier, once a year, makes homemade jelly for anyone who wants it. And there is such an array of fresh homemade jellies and jams out in the lobby, and you are welcome to take some as you leave. I know I will be doing the same. Thank you, Angier. I'd like to note that there are names in the bulletin listed to be on your prayer list, and we want to be sure and remember those people as we worship together and know that they cannot be with us. Join me in the call to worship. Clothe yourselves with faith and love. Be confident in your salvation in Jesus Christ. The Lord is with us. Let us worship God. Let us pray. We give thanks, God, our Father, for mercy that reaches out, for patience that waits your return, for love that is always ready to welcome us and bring us home. You are faithful and you are kind. Today we join together with each other to declare your praise and to worship you and you alone. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. First hymn is number 324. Open my eyes that I may see. God has not destined us for wrath, but for salvation in Jesus, who died for us, confident in God's mercies. Let us confess our sin. Almighty God, you have shown us the ways of justice and nurtured us with love. Even so, we have not lived according to your will. When we are oppressed or unjustly accused, we cling to fear and forget to trust in your deliverance. When we are giddy with power and abuse the rights of others, we hold tight to our privilege and forget your love. Have mercy on us, Lord, for we are weak and prone to disobedience. Hear our confession and respond to us with kindness, that we might turn to you again, walk in the light, and live in equity and peace. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Children of light, because we belong to our Lord Jesus Christ, we need not fear, for he lived for us, he died for us, and he raised up for us and prays for us. Believe the promise of your baptism. In Christ we are forgiven. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to
our Psalter lesson this morning is from Psalm 123. Verses 1 through 4. I lift up my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven, as the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave looks at the hand of her mistress. So our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us. For we have endured no end of contempt. We have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant or contempt from the proud. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God has entrusted us with a variety of gifts. Let us return to the Lord a generous portion of what he has given to us in thanksgiving for that gift from him, that it may be shared with others who are in need and can use that help. Our offering plates are in the lobby, and you can also go online and donate. Contribute your tithe in that way. It is our gift and God's tithe. That you do, we give thanks, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. We wait in hope for the coming of your realm and offer these gifts to further your kingdom on earth in Jesus' name. Amen. Our New Testament lesson this morning is Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. It's the parable of the bags of gold. And I read from the New International Version. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave five bags of gold. To one, he gave two bags of gold, each according to his ability. And then he gave one to the final servant. The man who had received the bags of gold went to at once and put his money to work and gained five bags more. So also the one with two bags of gold gained two more. But the man who had received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with two bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I have gained two more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you are not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here it is. It belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will be given an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw the worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I don't see Lacey with us this morning, and I don't see other children, but I'm sure there are children at home watching and listening, waiting for their time. So I have a message for you, those of you who are listening from home. I've heard that if you live to be 70 years old, you will spend at least 3 years of your life waiting. Just waiting. Waiting in line at the grocery store, waiting in the doctor's office, waiting for lunch to be ready, waiting for recess time at school. In his book, Oh, the Places You'll Go, Dr. Seuss talks about a place called the waiting place. He describes it as a useless place where people are just waiting. He says, waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or waiting around for a yes or a no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. I don't particularly like waiting, do you? I don't like it, but I don't know of any way to avoid it. We all have to spend some time in the waiting room, that Dr. Seuss talks about, but I don't think it has to be a useless place. While we are waiting, life goes on. And we must make good use of that time. What can we do? Well, we could read a good book, or we could call a friend on the phone. We could make a list of things that we need to do today or tomorrow. We could even study for our weekly spelling test. Oh, maybe that's going a little bit too far. But there are many things that we can do when we are just waiting. Today I will be talking about waiting for Jesus' return. Remember that when Jesus died on the cross, he promised us that he would come back again. And he told us to watch and be ready for him. What should we do while we are waiting for Jesus to come? We should worship and praise him, love and serve him, and share his love with many others. We can also be the hands of Jesus by helping someone in need. Or we can simply listen when they are upset. When we do these things, we will be ready for Jesus' return, and we will find joy in our waiting place. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we spend time in the waiting place, we look forward to great joy in the celebration of the day when Jesus comes back to us again. Amen. Join me in the prayer for illumination. Shine your light on your word, O Lord. By the Spirit, let us set your wonder, for your justice outruns our senses of fairness. Your love overwhelms our deepest affections. Open our eyes, unstop our ears, and show us your most excellent way for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. To really understand the scripture this morning, Matthew 25, that we read earlier, it's first important to look at what's going on in the world around Matthew as Jesus is speaking these words. Many theologians doubt that Matthew actually penned this gospel, but throughout the centuries, he is given credit for this gospel, and so I will follow that tradition and honor Matthew as the author. What we do know for sure is that our story is occurring in Jesus' last days on earth. He leaves the security of Galilee and travels to Jerusalem, where religious authorities see him as a threat to their power, and Romans view him as a disturber of the peace. Jesus is preparing his followers, disciples, and Christians throughout history, including us, for the time between his death on the cross and the time that he returns through his resurrection. In his typical parabolic style, Jesus tells us not only to be prepared for his second coming, but also what he expects of us as we wait for him. But, of course, we are not told when he will be coming, and so he keeps us on our toes and keeps us busy. Above all, what Jesus is telling us is not to be lax in our Christian duties or indulgent in our lifestyles as we wait. Instead, he wants us to maintain a constant state of readiness. Matthew records the words of Jesus and includes them in his gospel to speak to early followers. Life is not easy for them either, nor is the church always heaven on earth. To be a Christian at that time means often you have to travel and be away from your family or from the society that you cherish. They often experience persecution by the authorities. And meanwhile, the church is also struggling with between the Gentile Christians and the Jewish Christians over just how aggressive the church should be in evangelizing those Gentiles that have not been brought to Christ yet. To some of those Christians, life seems like a wilderness, hot, dry, uncomfortable, and with little to offer. Jesus is speaking a parable to his disciples in Jerusalem, and they themselves are a pretty motley crew of men who will soon experience life without his physical presence. They won't have Jesus to come to and to look to face to face. They will have to wait for the Spirit while being persecuted for their faith. So it is with a sense of urgency and importance, knowing that he will be gone soon, that Jesus expresses what he hopes and expects of them after he is gone and while they wait in the waiting room. This is a parable about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, faithful to him, even when he's not there to show us and them firsthand how it's done. In that 25th chapter of Matthew, the scripture we read earlier, Jesus tells the parable of the bags of gold or talents. A talent at that time was a word used to describe money. This is the story of a wealthy landowner who is preparing to take some time off, perhaps a long-awaited vacation, and maybe well-deserved vacation, and he entrusts enormous sums of money in the care of these servants and expects them to reap profits. Obviously, the landowner has extreme trust in these servants, or he wouldn't leave them with this amount of money. In those days, an ordinary laborer would have to work 15 to 20 years for just one talent. Each of these laborers is entrusted with talents according to his capabilities. One servant has five, another holds two, and the third receives one. We know from Matthew's account the first two servants where their owner met their owner's expectations. The third, on the other hand, was so afraid to take risks that he buried that allowance for safekeeping. As always in Jesus' parables, we struggled with just what he is saying. Among theologians, there are many interpretations of this one scripture of the bags of gold. Jesus' parables remind me of what we call ambiguous images or optical illusions, where you can look at one picture and see multiple things, multiple image. You look at it one way and you see a beautiful chalice waiting to be filled. You look at another way, you see two faces sharing their thoughts. And as I look at your beautiful, beautiful stained glass window, I see optical illusions there too. I see doves, I see a flower, and I see, when I look, I see different things. Take a look at it another time when you have that in mind. Obviously, each of the laborers is entrusted with talents according to his ability. Jesus' parable about the gold coins is like this. It's like an optical illusion. Some read it and believe this parable is about stewardship. How much of what God gives us in life we are to return to him and his work. Stewardship is definitely important and could be the focus here today. Others apply our current definition of talents, focusing on those gifts that God has given us to use in our service to him. Yes, that's true too. We could focus on how we are using those God-given talents to build God's kingdom. But what I hear Jesus saying in this parable is something different. When I read and review the parable of the gold coins, I hear Jesus telling those within hearing distance, including us, that he will be leaving soon, but that at an unknown time, he will come back and be with us again. He is giving us instructions on what to do while we wait for his return. In Isaiah 40, 30, 31, we read, "Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Notice Isaiah doesn't say that waiting is easy. For most of us, it's pretty difficult. And probably, especially for young people, waiting is downright difficult. I want results right now. I don't want to wait for results. I believe in Matthew 25 and Psalm 123, Jesus and the psalmist give us a playbook, play-by-play instructions for what to do while we wait. With football season sort of in full swing today, football fans understand the importance of a playbook. As singer Darius Rucker says about waiting, "There are two times of year for me, football season and waiting for football season." Author Robert Jordan says, "Waiting turns men into bears in a barn and women into cats in a sack." On the other hand, we hear from British philosopher Bertrand Russell, "The world is full of magical things patiently waiting for our wits to grow sharper." Sounds like the glass half full, the glass half empty? Not sure. When I think of waiting, I think of how my family prayerfully awaits an educational plan that will meet the needs of my granddaughter, Alina, who struggles with autism. How can we best prepare her for adult life as a successful adult? I think of our dear friends, Tianis and Mary, as they await the birth of their firstborn. During this time of pandemic, when Mary is a speech pathologist and every day is in contact with many different people and has to see the movement of their lips. And in this pandemic, I think of our world waiting for a cure, or at least vaccine, to save lives. I think of our precious climate that screams to us in fires in our western states, fires that one resident so poignantly says fill the air with ashes, not of just wood, but of feathers, of frogs, of squirrels, of deer, and people, bone and sinew, skin and hearts. I think of our nation waiting for transition to the leadership of our next president and vice president. I think of waiting for racial justice and equity after generation upon generation of systemic and person-to-person discrimination based solely on the color of their skin. We have, and we continue to hear decade after decade, "Please such as this of Robert Smalls, a black congressman, as far back as 1895, who said, "My race needs no special defense, for the past history of them in this country proves them to be as equal of people anywhere. All they need is an equal chance in the battle of life." I wonder, as we are here together this morning, what you are waiting for. A diagnosis, an impending treatment plan, the time that you can get together again with your families and friends without the fear of being infected with COVID, the time when you do not have to fear sending your children to school or your grandchildren to school, a time when there are no homeless children on the streets of Lufkin, Texas, a time when there is a cure available for the 60 probable existing cases reported in Lufkin of COVID and the 25 newly reported cases on the day that I was writing this message. But there is one part of our scripture that I haven't talked about yet this morning, verse 26 through 30 of Matthew's gospel. They are like elephants in the room. It's when the master tells the third servant who hides his part of the treasure that he is lazy, worthless, and that he should be thrown into the darkness. Wow, those are strong words. But the fact that the master gave only one talent to this third servant tells us that the master already recognizes something different about him, that perhaps he does not have the same mental acuity as the other two servants, or for reasons not identified in the scripture, he is not inclined to take risks as much as the other two were. But what the third servant did have is faith. He had faith that the master would return and that none of his master's talents would be wasted. Something the others did not have. The third servant played it safe. He had faith, but that faith kept him in his own comfort zone until the master returned again. This parable is about more than just what we can do or what God has gifted us with. It's a parable about what we are going to do in those moments where we clearly know what it means to represent Christ and are tempted not to do it. From the first century until today, God's people have had trouble stepping up to live fully into Christ's call to live actively as disciples. In the 1940s, German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer struggled with this as he wrote in the midst of the Holocaust, saying that the sin of respectable people is running from responsibility. He wrestled with his own sense of responsibility to speak out against bitter and hated Nazi party. As we know from history, speaking out led to his arrest, internment in a concentration camp, and ultimately to execution. Thanks be to God and to many who came before us, including our veterans, none of us is faced with such dire decisions. But running from responsibility does not look a lot like as the third servant did, hiding our talents, doing nothing. Fortunately, there's good news in this story. That good news is that we have this parable to inspire us to choose another way, to stare fear in the face and stand on the side of Christ, to be bold enough to trust and take a stand in the face of what tries to render us inactive and say, "Not today." In the wake of yet another story about a shooting during a service worship, here we are gathering today, trusting having faith that we can come together and worship God. This is what it means to be the church. Our Presbyterian Book of Order even helps define it in this way, saying, "The church is to be a community of faith, entrusting itself to God alone, even at the risk of losing its life." As people of faith, we are called to take risks, not hide our talents, but to invest them. This is one of our greatest callings as those who follow Jesus and live in anticipation of his return, to live into the kingdom of heaven that these parables describe means being ready to present ourselves to God, not as maintainers of the bare minimum, even in times of COVID, but as faithful investors who live fully into the adventuresome lives God gave us. What does faithfulness look like in times of waiting? In Matthew's gospel, faithfulness is emulating the ministry of Jesus. Jesus has announced the arrival of God's kingdom by feeding the hungry, curing the sick, blessing the meek, visiting the imprisoned, and serving the least. This, friends, is the bottom line for us in Jesus' parable of the bags of gold. As we await our Lord's return, how will we invest the resources given to us, our time, our energy, and our abilities? Will we tuck them away for safekeeping so that we can stand before our Lord and say, "Here, Lord, I have saved these for you"? Or will we be so busy caring for the poor, the needy, the widow, and the children that Jesus will have to tap us on the shoulder to get our attention, saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Amen. Let's pray prayers for the people. Gracious God, we are grateful for all the gifts you have bestowed upon us. We cherish every day of life you grant us and the many splendors of your creation. We strive to be faithful servants and to do your will on a daily basis. We pray for the strength to challenge the limits of our comfort zones as we grow our faith and to support others as they travel their journeys of faith. Guide this church family in its time of transition. We pray for your help as we discern our talents. Help us to see through the busyness of our lives to find time to serve others. Provide us with the generosity to cheerfully return a portion of the resources you entrusted to our stewardship to achieve your will. We struggle to understand the grievous events that continue to occur in our world, such as the senseless acts of terror that claim innocent lives and violence causing many to flee their homes in search of refuge. We live with the threat of a nuclear war and the devastation caused by natural disasters. In all these events, we pray for all affected that they and we may recover and return to a normal life. We give prayers of thanks for those who have served in the armed forces, including those who have given their lives to protect our very special freedom. We pray for our leaders at all levels to cast aside party affiliations and reach out to their fellow leaders with wisdom, patience, and tolerance to achieve decisions that create positive results for our nation and your world. Help us provide caring support within this congregation and community to those that face the loss of loved ones and who battle sickness. Comfort and heal each member named in the bulletin today, and those names we do not know. We ask all of these things and praise your presence in our lives by saying the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now stand if you are able as we profess what we believe using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our closing hymn today is "Today We All Are Called to Be Disciples." Stand if you are able. But strong. As we are instructed by the Apostle Paul, encourage one another and build each other up, faithfully working together for the kingdom of God as we wait the day of Christ's coming. May the God of creation work wonders in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. We enter together the joy of our Master. Amen.